Now, the book show Sarah Lestrange went to This Is Not Art in Newcastle on the weekend to report on its 10th anniversary. The Writers' Festival is part of that broader event. Here is 10 things about the National Young Writers' Festival.
Fun.
Energy.
Fresh. Hot. Crazy.
Psychobabble.
Rejuvenation. Experimental. Emerging.
A little bit of alcohol.
Young. Random. Awesome.
Confusing art, wanky art, exciting art.
Face painting everyone at the experimental music session and then dancing like toy box ballerinas in a horror movie.
And just lovely.
No, I can't tell you 10 things about it because I want to tell you 200. No, it's too hard.
Now that was more than 10 things. But as Marcus Westbury said, there's just too much to say. He's the founder of Tina and was in Newcastle over the weekend along with Mark Davis, whose book Gangland also celebrated its 10th anniversary. It's fitting that they're there together, as they've both contributed to the growth of a whole new cultural movement. Marcus Westbury.
I think a younger generation has come of age with certain expectations about the nature of creativity and culture that this festival taps into very well. I'm amazed, I was thinking back earlier about how extraordinary it seemed in that first year that anyone from out of town turned up. And this year it's, you know, every hotel in Newcastle's full and has been for the last, you know, 8 or so years every time at this weekend. So it's quite an extraordinary community that converges here.
It's a community of zinesters, dreadlocks, tattoos, face-painted performers, costumes, collaboration and activism, where the co-director wears a flouncy white dress for the whole time, day after day. It's as much a carnival as it is a writers' festival. And it's one that responds to the local community too. Maybe that's what the writers of the Hoon Haikus were tapping into.
My world against yours, but may the cue be with you. Do you want to score?
They made their own version of the particularly Newcastle practice of drive-by yelling at passers-by. The Hoon Haikuers, who also made a printed version of their poetry, I picked up my own copy, are just one example of the participants being the creators, as well as the audience, as well as having lots of fun, which is all part of the ethos of the event. Marcus Westbury.
The sort of people that come to this festival are basically, across the board, are independent creators, independent media makers, independent, you know, zine makers, people who, at one level, they're formal writers and publishers and those sorts of people. But beyond that, there is a much larger creative community of bloggers and zine makers and people who make small press and people who do all sorts of things. 10 years ago, there was no national community of those people. And I think this festival has played a role, as has the internet and changes in communications, costs of communications and communications technology. Nowadays, that sense of personally initiating things and publishing and writing and creating your own media has become a phenomenon, you know? And I think this festival was in a really interesting arc of time to track that.
At any one time, I could go to a literature remix class, a flip book opening, a creative health check, an anti-social social club, a voice work short story writing workshop, or the cracking laboratory. You do need to read the blurbs in the program to know what the events are about. Nick Lowe is the outgoing festival co-director. He's been involved as an organiser for 2 years. He says the purpose of all of this choice is sensory overload.
We don't program 5 events one after the other where you go to A, B, to C, to D. What we prefer to do is more of a shotgun approach, where at any given moment there are 10 or more things happening, and we have a big enough crowd that you guarantee an audience in every session. It's a kind of pick and mix approach. You can walk into a room, have a listen, make a contribution, then leave, go somewhere else. You poke your head in the door, and in the program we don't differentiate between the different festivals. So you see something that looks interesting, you don't know if it's Writers Festival or if it's Electro Fringe or Sound Summit or Critical Animals. You can't tell who's putting it on. So you can rock up and find yourself in a room full of sound artists, and you're a poet, and those are where the interesting connections come from. Those are where suddenly people get opened up to new possibilities. And, you know, I've overheard discussions in the festival club, some musicians who had been hearing talks about sound poetry and looking at the kind of harmonic possibilities of that, or people who are simply short story writers and they've always written on the page, they've stumbled into a kind of online experimental publishing forum, and suddenly there are 10 new websites and 10 new ways of distributing your work that they've been exposed to that they didn't even know about. So it's not that they necessarily knew what they were looking for, but that we've provided several thousand things for them to find as and when they can.
I've narrowed down my choice and have decided to go to an interactive narrative writing workshop run by Nick Lowe and Electro Fringe co-director Elmar Trefez.
The Interactive Narrative Workshop is the first step in a project that hopefully will go on a bit further. It's a collaboration between the National Young Writers Festival and the Electro Fringe Festival. The idea is really to just get people who are interested from those two different fields together in the same room, ask them what they're doing, what they're into, and what their passions are, and then trying to form collaborations and partnerships from there.
After the sensory overload from all of the socialising and the workshops, I head off by myself for a while and do a spoken word tour of the area around Civic Park, close to the festival hub. MP3 player, mud map in hand and headphones on, I walk around Hunter Street to the words of Kiki, a spoken word poet.
Open your ears, shapelessly weaving the sketches of this castle and her kite. Layers like rock settle here, unravelling lightly.
And I emerge in Civic Square and come across a man lying down on the pavement next to a building that resembles a bottle stopper. Like me, it looks like he too needs a rest. He's in black slacks, a white singlet and a paisley-patterned button shirt. He wears a bowler hat, and it turns out his name is Sai. He later describes himself as a guerrilla poet. Next to him is a bottle of beer, with a sign sticking out of the top. It reads Poet. He promises to improvise a poem for me on the condition that I lie down next to him in the square too. I do, and I ask him,
why were you lying down?
I was kind of a bit nervous and a bit pent up, and I was just walking around, and like when you go to festivals, sometimes the in-between times, you sort of don't know what to do with yourself and you're sort of wandering around, and I get a little bit sort of anxious. So I was walking around, and then I just thought, this is such a big open square, and I just lay down in the middle of it, and it's just so much space. And I thought if I looked up towards the sky, it sometimes helps to put things into perspective, like the fact that there's sort of infinite space out above us, and we get so caught up in the little tiny things, like I might be scared about other more successful poets in this little festival in Newcastle on this country of Australia on this planet of Earth. But I find looking up can really help to calm them.
Does looking up help you to compose poetry?
No. I think really channeling the neurosis is one of my strong points, actually. I'm not very good at doing calm cosmic poetry.
I think that experience of lying down in the Civic Park and having poetry recited to me fits into the randomness theme, one of the 10 things people often mention about the National Young Writers Festival. I head back to the festival hub, where Sai is going to perform in a spoken word event. However, I get distracted and end up speaking to friends and miss out. I later find Amy Ingram. She's not hard to find because she's the one wearing a white wedding dress. Amy's one of the young co-directors from Brisbane, who Nick Lowe has handed the organiser baton to, and who, along with Daniel Evans, will next year train new directors in the position. There's a lot of eagerness to do this job, even though there's little remuneration to organise over 200 young artists.
I really believe in this festival and what it does for people, and it's a fantastic experience for me. I get to meet people on a national scale. It launches my profile as well as other people's within the festival. But at the moment, you just do it for the love of it. We have a two-year rollover plan, so next year Dan and I become senior and we take on a new person, and then they all become senior and take on a new person. So there's always new ideas coming in, and I think that's really important.
That mentoring role for the co-directors is also important for the participants. Frank Morehouse has been invited to give the keynote speech at the festival. He's mentored Tara June Winch, author of the Yunnayapon Prize-winning novel Swallow the Air. She's also won the prestigious Rolex International Mentor and Protégé Initiative, which means she'll be mentored by the Nobel Prize-winning writer Wole Soyinka. She's to be on a plane heading for Nigeria for this mentorship, but she changed her flight schedule just to be at this writers' festival. Frank and Tara met at the Darwin Wordstorm Festival a few years ago. Nudging 70, perhaps Frank Morehouse is the oldest young writer in Australia.
Well, I was invited, much to my surprise. It was a special type of invitation, and because you're talking virtually to beginning writers and first and second novel writers, it's an opportunity to share a bit of experience in a pretty concrete way. The sorts of questions you get are very much about the writing life. In fact, I think it's probably an invitation that couldn't be refused in terms of the tradition. It's not only an act of grace, it's a pleasure to be involved in emerging talents. You, of course, only become enthusiastic when you see talents. You see lots of striving, which is not enough, and you see a lot of sincerity, which is not enough, and you see a lot of diligence, which is not enough, but occasionally all these things plus special talents, and it's exciting to come across them and to help.
Tara, do you see Frank as a mentor, or is it not as formal as that?
No, it's not as formal as that. I definitely see Frank as someone who has really worked hard in his profession and is an inspiration, an elder, someone who you look up to and that you quietly or silently draw life from, I suppose. And maybe not life from as in sucking it, but as in they illuminate what you're working towards, I suppose.
Do you show Frank what you're writing and ask for feedback?
No, not at all. It's just a silent exchange. Yeah, definitely. Just someone who's there, and you know that person would be there if you ever needed help or wanted to ask about writing or anything in the industry. It's just one of those people that are present. And
is that called friendship?
Yeah, my friend Frank.
Tina is all about breaking down cultural barriers and allowing the new guard through, I guess, or just giving the new guard space to be able to create what they want.
Lisa Dempster, festival goer and indie magazine publisher, wasn't enthusiastic about Frank Morehouse being at the festival or giving the keynote speech.
It's incredibly surprising to see Frank Morehouse as the keynote speaker, who is someone who does have a lot of, for better or worse, sort of cultural credentials. Also being of a certain age, sort of white, middle-aged or above, middle-class, male, I was very surprised about how much, just kind of questioning how much does he represent the people who are at Tina.
Lisa Dempster also wonders if there's a new breed of spokespeople popping up who are becoming the gatekeepers of the indie scene, perhaps like festival founder Marcus Westbury and writer Mark Davis. Davis's book, Gangland, Cultural Elites and the New Generationalism, came out a decade ago and critiqued the stronghold of baby boomers over artistic institutions and public debate.
Look, I don't think of myself as an established writer, but I suppose no writer ever does in some ways. And I have to acknowledge that probably I'm like all those other writers who are fairly established who don't see themselves that way. The writers here and the cultural producers here, to my great delight, are tending not to see me as an established figure. They still see me as a bit of a mongrel and a bit of a wayward son, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
The National Young Writers Festival is 10 this year, and your book is just over 10, Gangland. So it's interesting that there's that parallel time that both have existed. Have you seen any changes in that time in terms of cultural institutions opening up to younger voices?
Yes, there have been changes, and look, it's not accidental that the two grew up together. The book, Gangland, was, I hope, one of the factors that led to festivals like this getting going, but also I've been told privately by people on funding bodies and so on that it didn't open their eyes and ears so much as it gave them an excuse to refocus their priorities to some degree. They were already aware that they had some blind spots, and it gave them some reason to say, well, now we really do need to address those blind spots, and it needs to become part of our policy, and we really do need to reorient ourselves a little bit.
By Sunday, it's nearing the end of the 5-day festival, and there's one more day to go. I'm planning to retreat from the hyper-social carnival atmosphere and soak up some quiet. Writer Aidan Rolfe sums up the experience of being at the event with his 10 things about the National Young Writers Festival.
It's 10 ginger beers down and the 9 panels you wanted to turn up to but didn't. in place of 8 hamburgers or kebabs, all seem to have gathered in the festival club as you wonder where your bag is with the 7 zines in it. There are the 6 people whose names you remember, the 5 people whose names you forget, the $4 in your pocket. There's the 3 people you tried to pick up, the 2 nights of fitful sleep, and the 1 long hangover that has kicked off October for wayward literati for the last decade.
Aidan Rolfe with his 10 things about the National Young Writers Festival in Newcastle, where the book show Sarah Lestrange also spent the weekend celebrating the festival's 10th anniversary. And if you want to hear more of the interviews Sarah gathered at the festival, they'll be on Pool under the Letterbox tag in the next few days. A link to Letterbox is on our site, and the list of people Sarah spoke to who are in this piece will be there too. And you can find that on abc.net.au/rn/bookshow. On ABC Radio National, I'm Ramona Koval.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.